Welcome to the Ether. Today is Thursday, May 5th, 2022. Today on the Ether, the Mega Loop Finance Update, hosted by CeFi. Let's take a listen. You always be CeFi to me, baby.
Great. Thanks for organizing this, by the way. CeFi and Simon, you guys are legends. This is amazing. I think this is going to be one of the biggest spaces we've had.
Yeah, look forward to all the alpha here.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, hey, AJ, how's it going?
You're good.
Good, man. How are you?
Great. Great to have you here. Thanks for taking the afternoon off work. That's a very dedicated Loop team member.
Absolutely.
I would have been worried to answer some of these questions without you.
No worries, no worries.
Simon, are you up? It's 6 a.m. there, right? Are you awake?
Yeah, I can't believe it.
I mean, neither, man. I don't think I've ever seen you awake at this time of day except when you've stayed awake until this time of day.
Yeah, I just can't believe I wasted 2 minutes doing my hair. The first time.
That is a lie.
Maybe.
I guess we could have started an hour later, I suppose. I didn't realize you guys were this early.
That's all good.
I'm good. I'm in Mexico. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon for me.
Oh, okay. You're good then.
Yeah.
Simon's going to kill me after. Simon's going to kill me after.
He's Simon's a night owl. He goes to bed at 3 and gets up at 10.
Yeah.
Hey, but for you guys, UK guys as well, the Europe guys as well this time. So
good. I think you got stuck on our South African time, right, Simon?
Yeah.
Your body clock never adjusted to Australia. It's like an internal protest.
It's all good for you guys.
Hey.
Yeah, so I think we've got some folks in. It's about 3 minutes past at the moment. So we could probably get started, I guess, and let people sort of trickle on in. But maybe before we get to like the sort of like primo information, maybe we could cover very briefly sort of like Loop Finance for those that have not used it or have no idea what we're talking about. Has a couple of major services at the moment. They have a decentralized exchange with liquidity pools, and they have a application called Loop Learn, which basically is a mechanism for sort of posting sort of like articles and analysis about Terra related projects and such, and then kind of incentivizing that. Hopefully I got that description correct. Maybe you guys can like give us some updates on those components real quick before we move on to other things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's kind of three components there, I guess. One is the DEX. One is Loop Learn, which is actually a series of videos that Simon Chadwick has been making in collaboration with TFL. So they're animated videos about all things Terra, Loop, and now starting to focus on DeFi and other protocols as well. So there's some amazing videos produced by the Bread and Beyond team, and that's been sponsored, as I said, by TFL. So definitely check them out on the Learn section of our website. And then we have the community as well, and I think that's the one you're referring to, CeFi, which is allows people to post or create articles about anything related to Terra or blockchain, and then get incentivized for providing like high quality educational articles. So that's that. And then we're actually just about to launch our DeFi NFT marketplace as well. I know we've been promising the launch of that for quite a while, and it's taken quite a bit longer than we'd hoped. But I guess that's just often building on Terra, unfortunately, or building on blockchain in general. But that's about to launch in the next few days. So we're super excited about that. There's a couple of components to that. In fact, there's three different components to that. One is a launch pad, which will just allow people to do a launch of a collection, and it'll allow users to randomly mint NFTs from that particular collection. That's super cool. And then there's the marketplace where people can trade and auction their NFTs. And then we'll have what we're calling the minting studio. What that allows people to do is it allows them to mint their own NFT LP, or I guess we're calling them reward NFTs. And the idea there is you take LP tokens from the DEX, and then you go over to the minting studio and you can use those LP tokens to mint an NFT. And then when you stake that NFT, you get extra rewards on top of that. So it's a way of kind of locking up your liquidity position for a longer period of time. And in some cases, even giving up that liquidity position entirely and handing over that liquidity to the protocol. So the protocol will then own that liquidity. And then in return, you get the NFT, which you can stake to claim tokens, or you can sell on the NFT marketplace. So that's a pretty innovative kind of feature. We're really looking forward to seeing how that works. And as I said, the first kind of part of that should be released, within the next few days. So pretty excited about that. And that's kind of one of the reasons why we're releasing Loop Power, or starting to release Loop Power now, is because we're going to allow people to vote on which tokens Loop starts to accumulate in its protocol-owned liquidity pools. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So, and Tom, your voice is cutting out a little bit from time to time. I think it might be your connection, or maybe it's me. I'm not sure which one. But
I think it's a Terra Spaces. So thing. I think it's between speakers. Sometimes you cut out. I think for the rest of the people, it's usually okay.
Okay. Yeah, it might very well be. Hopefully, everyone else can hear okay. But I think what I understood was so the most recent projects are the NFT component, the launchpad / marketplace, and then the fourth piece of this is now this element of like voting escrow on Loop to, you know, like some other platforms, you can basically redirect LP rewards to certain LPs if you hold enough voting power. So maybe like talk about the, let's maybe go into the NFT piece of the puzzle first. Has that opened, or is that going to be opening in the near term? What's happening with that?
That's going to be opening. Oh, sorry. Go on, Simon. You answer this one.
Yeah, all good. I'll jump in here. That will be opening up soon and in stages. And I'll just quickly finish off where Tom left off. So the NFT marketplace is a beast. The reason why it's taking so long is because each NFT has 7-8 times more data than a normal NFT. So we need a lot of middleware servers to cache all the NFTs and make sure the user experience is quick and awesome, because each NFT, they aren't just normal NFTs, they all have yield associated with them. And that yield can be in the form of 1 or 2 or 3 tokens even. So when you mint an NFT in the launchpad, you can see the live odds of minting a very rare or a rare NFT and the APY that you'd receive from that NFT if you staked it. So you have an awesome My NFT wallet, and you can stake each NFT and see the yield. And it's just awesome to see projects like utilize this functionality in different ways. Like, for example, Luna Launcher, the multi-chain launchpad that's launching on Terra, they will be using these NFTs to provide protocol-owned liquidity as a service to new projects, to create trust in communities, because they're building liquidity pools with permanent locked-in liquidity. So there can't be any rug pulls. So I think that's pretty cool.
For ourselves as well, I mean, we will start to own our own protocol-owned liquidity using this mechanism. And the idea is with the loop power is that people will be able to vote, as I said, on which tokens loop accumulates. So that's obviously really good for, you know, protocols who want loop to start accumulating their token. They'll be able to vote on those pools if they own enough loop. And then we will start actually accumulating and locking up their token into liquidity pools, which is obviously great for their token value. And then the other option we'll have is we'll have an option where protocols themselves can offer their own NFTs and start collecting their own protocol-owned liquidity. And they'll be able to vote to have loop tokens added on to those NFTs as an additional reward. Apart from obviously offering their own tokens, they'll be able to vote to have some loop tokens kind of tacked onto the top of that to increase the APYs on their own NFTs. So there's kind of a couple of mechanisms there which protocols will be able to vote on, or they'll be able to incentivize their users to vote on or bribe their users to vote on. So that, you know, essentially their NFTs are worth more, their protocol and liquidity NFTs are worth more, or to incentivize loop to accumulate their tokens. So, yeah, there's a few cool mechanisms there, which we're hoping will kind of incentivize protocols themselves to start accumulating loop en masse.
Interesting. So, so it's going to like, it sounds like there.
I can't hear Sifa at all, unfortunately, at the
I
moment.
I don't think anybody can. Yeah.
We might get rug pulled again.
Okay. Maybe he needs
do
to
you just want to continue while we can't hear Sifa, or do we?
I hear him.
Yeah. Or, you hear him.
Yeah, he's saying bye, Luna.
Nah, I said bye, Loop. Pretty sure.
So you guys can't
I heard him laughing.
Saying,
there he is.
I heard you laughing, but that was the first thing I heard.
Okay. How about now? And am I okay?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
You're back.
Okay. All right. Let's try this again. So Tom, do us a favor, or Simon, recap, because I don't know if any of us heard exactly, but recap the NFT marketplace. Sort of unique features for us again, if you would, just so we can make sure we caught all of that.
Yeah, 100%. I'll run through them if you like. There are a few of them we were talking about. So the number one is obviously our launchpad, where people will be able, or protocols will be able to launch a collection of NFTs. And each of those NFTs will have a yield attached to them or a reward attached to them. So you know, a protocol will be able to launch their collection, attach a bunch of their tokens to it, and then people who buy those NFTs will then be able to stake them and collect their reward tokens over time. So they'll be vested, you know, over like a 3-month or a 6-month period. So that's the launchpad. After that, we have the marketplace. This is like a secondary marketplace. People will be able to sell or auction off their NFTs. When they do that, they'll actually have to unstake the NFT first. That will pause the rewards on that NFT, and then they can sell the NFT, and the new owner can then restake the NFT and collect the remaining rewards on it. So that's that part of it. And then we have the minting studio, and what that allows people to do is take LP tokens. And the minting studio is for protocols who want to own their own liquidity. So essentially, you know, Loop, obviously, we are going to, what we'll do is we'll allow people to take LP tokens from certain pools, for example, the Loop UST pool, and to mint an NFT with those LP tokens. By doing so, the user's essentially giving up their LP tokens. They're paying for the NFT with their LP tokens. But we, in return, will give them a whole bunch of Loop tokens so they can then take that NFT, stake it, and collect their Loop tokens over time. So this is a great way for protocols who want to build up their own liquidity, and they don't just want to pay farming rewards. You know, like at the moment, we've got a farming system, which is great, and it's helped to attract a lot of liquidity, but it's not sustainable in the long run. We can't just keep paying out farming rewards forever. So what we're going to start doing is accumulating our own liquidity, and then by the end of our emission schedule, you know, in another 4.5 years, by then we will have accumulated enough liquidity that we'll no longer need to pay farming rewards to attract liquidity, because there'll just be enough protocol-owned liquidity on the DEX. And then we'll offer that as a service as well to other protocols who want to accumulate their own liquidity. They can offer the same mechanism. They can allow people to mint NFTs using LP tokens from their pools, and then they'll pay rewards on those NFTs. So that's kind of the long and the short of the NFT marketplace. As Simon B said before, it's an absolute beast. That's why it's taken us so long to build. It's going to be launching very soon. So we're super, super excited about that.
Tom, can you describe a little bit about how these new projects are going to bring back cash flow to the Loop token holders, and how that's going to impact either the emissions or the value accrual for Loop itself? Is there any changes happening there?
Yeah, there's a whole lot of ways that will happen. Obviously, whenever a protocol does a mint, so if they mint a collection on our launchpad, we'll be charging a fee on that. And that fee will go towards buying back, or some of that fee, 50% of that fee will go towards buying back Loop at market. So that's one of the mechanisms. The other one is trading fees on the actual marketplace itself. Same deal. 50% of the fees will go towards buying back Loop at market. And then as well, obviously, any protocols which do decide to have protocol-owned liquidity on the platform, that will be locked into the Loop platform for a period of time. And any trading fees on the DEX, 25% of those fees will go to Loop token holders, as happens at the moment. So, there's a whole range of ways that Loop token holders are going to benefit from the NFT marketplace.
So do you believe that there's going to be an increased there's going to be an increased incentive for people to provide liquidity on the DEX through this mechanism, just to sort of improve the spreads and other components of the DEX?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of adding an extra benefit for people who want to mint one of these NFTs. In order to do so, they'll need to actually provide liquidity. Some projects might not even offer farming rewards. They might just decide to offer rewards on these poll reward NFTs. And then if people want to kind of get tokens from that project, then that will be the way that they'll need to do it. And even ourselves, we're going to be starting to reduce the farming rewards, and we're going to be ramping up the rewards on these protocol-owned liquidity NFTs. Our idea is to, obviously, over time, it's not going to be a sort of, one day to the next, but over time we're going to be ramping up the protocol-owned liquidity rewards and winding down the farming rewards. We just see it as a much more sustainable solution long term. And, our idea is to have, over 500 million in liquidity, which is owned by the protocol by the time our emission schedule ends. That's kind of our target.
Yeah. So, and I'll jump in there. So, we've also allocated all the farming rewards towards voters. We'll get to that in a bit now, but we've also integrated the NFT marketplace really well with the DEX. So for example, you can one click convert a position, from a farming position into an LP NFT with higher yield. You'll see a button there, earn an extra 58% APY, for example. And we've also made it super easy for people who want to get exposure into a farm, but don't want to have to buy both tokens, pool them, then farm them. They can just go straight to the NFT marketplace or straight on the pool page and see these top yielding or highest yielding LP NFTs based on the pools. We've also allowed users to convert some of their positions. And again, we'll get to this later. But for example, let's say you're in a staking position, a 24-month staking position to earn vote escrow. and you want to get out of that position for whatever reason, you're in distress, you need to pay a bill, whatever it might be. On normal protocols, there's nothing you can do about it. You're locked in, that's it. But we will allow users to convert that position into an NFT and then make it tradable. And this is something that a few other protocols have asked us to do for them for their vested tokens. They want to allow their investors to access their tokens over the next 18 months to provide liquidity with them instead of just having them sitting there waiting to be vested. So it essentially can take vesting positions in a token, in a project, and make that tradable. But in order to make it tradable, the initial investor needs to pair it with another token. So it's like a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I was thinking about that with one of the protocols that I had some coins on, where my coins were stuck investing for God knows how long, and they couldn't be used for anything, including voting, which is an interesting problem. So, well, cool. Maybe describe next how this new Loop power solution like plays into this whole mix of ideas.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Loop power is essentially, I mean, it's a kind of, it's our take on the V tokenomics, you know, the V voting model. So we're putting up 200 million or allocating 200 million Loop tokens, which is 20% of our total supply. And people will be able to vote, either users or protocols will be able to vote on how those tokens are distributed. So we'll be distributing them in three different ways. One way will obviously be through farming. So, you know, a protocol who wants to increase the Loop farming rewards on their farm will be able to vote to have that happen. And, you know, maybe they'll be able to bribe other users as well to vote for their farm so that, you know, they can increase the amount of Loop rewards on their farm. That's number one. Number two, as I mentioned before, people will be able to vote on what tokens Loop accumulates as part of its protocol-owned liquidity. So if a protocol, you know, Kuji or Apollo or any other protocol wants Loop to start accumulating their token, which is obviously great for their token price, and for their stability as well, because any tokens that we do accumulate will just be locking into a liquidity pool, then they'll be able to vote to have Loop start accumulating their tokens. And then the third one will be other protocols will be able to create their own protocol-owned liquidity NFTs, which they will offer their own token rewards on, but they'll be able to vote to have Loop added to those rewards. So, you know, imagine it's Kuji. Kuji offers, you know, a certain number of rewards for their protocol and liquidity NFTs. And then they vote to have Loop tokens added to those. And so the end user, the purchaser of the NFT or the minter of the NFT will be able to stake it and get not just Kuji tokens, but also Loop tokens on top of that. So that, again, will incentivize users to want to buy, you know, or mint their protocol-owned liquidity NFTs. So essentially it's a whole range of ways for protocols to kind of, you know, increase the value of their own tokens or by owning Loop and by voting on these range of different ways that those Loop emissions are used.
Do you feel like sort of like this suite of new products, do they serve some of the similar purposes? You know, so I have, for example, on Pylon Gateway, I've got you know, pile of UST there. It's earning me Loop tokens. Do you foresee somewhere in this mix like a replacement for that where there's like a better alternative investment, I guess, compared to what you would do on Pylon? Like that's kind of what I'm sensing is kind of the direction this is going.
Yeah, look, that's one option is that, you know, projects will be able to use our sort of our functionality to raise funds and then essentially, you know, that the way they do that would be through our launch pad. So what they could do is they could mint a collection on the launch pad. You know, let's say they mint 10,000 NFTs and each NFT has a certain number of tokens attached to it. They can randomize the number of tokens which is attached to each NFT. So, you know, some people get lucky and get an NFT with heaps of tokens attached to it. Other people will just get, you know, a regular NFT, which will probably have an equivalent amount of tokens attached to it for the price they paid. You know, if I pay $400, I'll get at least $400 worth of tokens attached to the NFT, right? But maybe some NFTs will have 3,000 or, you know, a really rare one might have $5,000 worth of tokens attached to it. So it kind of randomizes that token distribution process. And it's obviously fun for the users as well. You know, they mint an NFT and they, you know, they get it and then they stake it to get their tokens vested over a certain period of time. So it kind of replaces that usual vesting period from a token sale. But then, of course, it has the other advantage that they can sell that NFT. Like you were saying before, you know, you've got a bunch of tokens vested, but you can't do anything with them. So this will kind of make those positions liquid. So that's – and then the protocol who sold the NFTs will be able to, you know, either use the amount that they raise for development funds, or they could use that amount to put into a liquidity pool on the DEX. You know, and that can be automated as well. So yeah, there's a range, definitely a range of options there for protocols looking to raise funds for either liquidity or just for development, and use our platform for that.
Just so I can wrap my sort of head around this, like, so would this be on the NFT side, the type of platform for those looking for purely utility NFTs, or does this include like the usual art NFTs and you can sort of add the utility component on top of it, or both, or either one? Like, what's the, like, who's the target market for these? And then who's the target project for this type of thing?
Yeah, look, we're not going to release any NFTs which don't have some kind of utility attached to them. I mean, I think we're going to do a launch for Lunaverse just because we've been promising those guys we'll do a launch for them and they won't have any rewards attached to them. But apart from that, you know, every other project that launches on our marketplace will need to provide some sort of utility, some sort of rewards on the NFTs. But that doesn't mean they can't also create a really awesome collection of artwork, right? For example, we're going to work with LunArt, and they're going to release their next collection of artistic NFTs on Loop, but they're going to be linked to LP positions. So at the same time as releasing, you know, their cool art, that they're going to be accumulating liquidity for the protocol. So yeah, we're kind of targeting. I mean, it's obviously a bit of an experiment. You know, we don't know. We know there's kind of, you know, NFT communities out there who are interested in NFTs solely for the artistic kind of side of them and the community side. And then there's obviously the sort of the more DeFi kind of, you know, target audience as well. And this is kind of a bit of a hybrid of both. So. Look, you know, like most things in crypto, it's an experiment and we're going to see how it works. But we're very confident that we've got enough utility, you know, in all of these products and that we're going to find an amazing product market fit somewhere in there. And, you know, obviously, you know, we've got a lot of our own kind of protocols who we're incubating and, you know, we'll be encouraging a lot of those to use this functionality. But then, you know, our target market as well will be any new protocols launching on Terra who are looking to launch an NFT collection or looking to, you know, to build liquidity for their pools or even just looking to raise funds at the same time as having, you know, we're going to be working with White Whale, for example. They're going to be releasing an NFT collection, the Whale Guardians, and, you know, they want to attach some whale tokens to those NFTs. As a kind of, you know, a way of thanking their community. So, yeah, look, there's all sorts of utility options for them and the rewards aren't the only one. I mean, protocols can then decide to add a bunch of other utility onto those NFTs as well, right? Like maybe they can give them a special discount or they can do special airdrops to NFT holders or, you know, they can see who's been holding their NFTs for a certain period of time and then reward them in a special way or like the kind of sky's the limit in terms of the number of ways that protocols can come up with to incentivize their community through this system.
Cool. Yeah, I think I've understand all the different components now. Maybe we should take some questions. Anybody up here have any particular nuances they need worked out, haven't figured out yet, or did the guys miss anything that like Jedi?
I did want to add one One really quick, I do really want to move on to vote escrow soon, as that's quite a big one, but just adding really quick around liquidity. We're not that far off from releasing new bonding curves. So all the pools basically will have much more efficient bonding curves, which means that the liquidity in the pool is about 3 times more efficient. So that makes a really, really big difference, especially with the use of aggregators across the Terra space, is that, you know, obviously, you know, we're deepening our liquidity, but also, you know, our pools will get picked up a lot more because our pools are just about to become really, really, really efficient. And, you know, Simon can touch about this. And obviously also building our own aggregator as well. So you'll be able to, you kind of come on the Loop Dex and use all the UI and UX and everything. But as well, you'll be actually tapping into, you know, the Loop's aggregator, where you'll actually be able to trade even through Astro and Terra, you know, TerraSwap. And, you know, if there's a big trade that you want to do on Loop and there's not enough liquidity in a pool, it will actually, you know, obviously aggregate through the other exchanges. So, you know, that's going to make it just an awesome place to come and trade and do everything on Loop. And you'll catch everything else from the whole ecosystem as well. So, yeah, I thought I'd add that really quick.
Yeah, that sounds like some really important details, actually. One is, yeah, better bonding curves on the DEXs will be awesome for Loop. And then, yeah, the increased sort of traffic and maybe like a one-stop shop sort of place to get things hopefully will be successful for driving more people not only to the protocol at large, but just to the other new projects and other elements on the site. That's cool. So let's see, Jedi or Nina or anybody else have any particular questions up here on anything before we move on?
Yeah, Sifa, have you heard our new catchphrase?
What's that?
A dex that's better than sex.
It's perfect. So we'll... It's the sexy dex. That's cool. I'm gonna have to think about that one for a minute. Yeah.
You got any questions, Hutch, as well? Or are you gonna keep that to the end?
Not about the NFT stuff. I know you guys want to move on to the tokenomics, but I definitely have some questions about other things you guys are up to.
Yep. Let's go to the next step then. The big discussion is about the Loop Power system and what's happening with voting escrow and all. So yeah, Simon, take it away, or whoever. We can fill everybody in on this point.
Yeah, look, I can start off on that. So obviously, you know, with the introduction of these poll NFTs, we've kind of decided that now's a great time to sort of announce the launch of Loop Power, which is essentially, you know, our take on the VE tokenomics model. Which is being really successful. Obviously, we've seen, you know, the success of that with a lot of other protocols on both Terra and other chains as well. So what our Loop Power system will allow people to do is it'll allow them to vote on how those 200 million Loop tokens are allocated. So that's 20% of our supply will be allocated over the next sort of 4.5 years or emitted over the next 4.5 years. And there'll be three ways that's going to be used. The first way is obviously just through farming. So protocols or users will be able to vote on which farms they want boosted. So, you know, which farms they want to have more Loop tokens emitted on. That's, you know, that's a pretty standard kind of mechanism. The next one will be able, projects or protocols or users will be able to vote on which tokens Loop accumulates in its own protocol-owned liquidity pools. So, you know, if a protocol like Kuja or Apollo or, you know, any other protocol, Lunaverse or Lunart want Loop to start accumulating their tokens as part of our protocol-owned liquidity, they'll be able to use their Loop Power to vote on those. So that's the second way. And then the third way is that protocols will actually be able to have their own poll NFTs. So, you know, if a protocol comes along and they want to accumulate their own liquidity, they'll be able to offer poll NFTs, which means that users will be able to take their LP tokens from the DEX, mint an NFT with those LP tokens, stake that NFT, and then claim rewards on that NFT in the protocol's tokens, and or obviously sell the NFT as well. That's the other option they'll have. But then on top of that, protocols will be able to vote using their Loop Power to have Loop tokens added to those poll NFTs as well. So that will obviously increase the value of those NFTs. And it'll encourage more users to purchase their NFTs. And that's obviously great for the protocol also, because, you know, the more of their tokens that are being locked up, the better for the protocol. Yeah, so they're the kind of the three ways that people will be able to use their loot power. And then we're also looking at, obviously, you know, another standard mechanism, which is boosts on APRs. So essentially, you know, if you have a certain amount of loot power, you'll be able to boost your yield from farming, or possibly as well the yield which is attached to the protocol-owned liquidity NFTs which you own. So, yeah, we're kind of exploring a whole range of ways that loot power can be used to benefit both users and protocols.
Yeah, I would say my problem with previous models, like, for example, Curve Wars or, you know, Astro Wars or, you know, whatever, is that the it's like the acquisition of Astro and the winner of the so-called war is basically like someone that individual users are giving up voting power to. And it's sort of like a winner takes all sort of situation, which I don't feel very strongly about that benefiting decentralization over the long run. I kind of like the idea of the loop power token giving benefit to either protocols, like if they choose to accumulate a ton of it, or individuals if they choose to accumulate more of it. Because like the way you're talking about it, if I'm understanding this correctly, like if I own more loop tokens and I have an LP on the platform, then I should be able to escalate my yield on that at some level. And then all I have to do really is determine, okay, wait, how much effect of extra loop tokens is this going to have on my yield? And then I can kind of like do the math and figure out how to benefit myself. This idea of like giving up the tokens to yet another protocol to then provide me with some sort of new yield and some other token, I think is like making people nervous on the like Astro War front, right? Like you're giving up your Astro tokens to somebody, they're going to give you something else in return, and you don't know what that's going to be worth. And it's just like a big, I don't know, it's just very confusing for the individual community user, in my view. Like it might benefit the overall community somehow, but from an individual user perspective, I feel like it's not, it doesn't really support individualism. Like maybe describe that a little bit more, Tom, like that piece of the puzzle. So if someone here decides, hey, I want to hold more loop tokens or keep my farmed loop tokens for some reason, maybe describe that one more time, just in detail, like what kind of things, like now that I'm acquiring these loop tokens, what am I going to do with them? Describe that utility one more time, like just to like cement that point.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, one of them is, you know, as I just said, getting a boost on the APRs from their own farming positions. So, you know, that's a pretty easy kind of no-brainer, easy one for people to understand. The other one for users, like individually, is that we're going to have a system where protocols can essentially bribe users to delegate their voting power to them. So, you know, say, like, you know, I keep using Kuji as an example, first one that just keeps coming to mind. But if they want to bribe people to delegate their loot power to the, say, the Kuji poll NFTs, then they can offer Kuji to people in return for doing that. So, you know, our platform,
Let me interrupt you right there just so I can clarify. So is that a feature that's going to be right there on the Loop platform, or is that something
it's going to be right there? It's going to be right there on the Loop platform.
Like where would that experience happen?
No, it'll be right there on the Loop platform. So Kuji might say, okay, we're going to give, like, let's say, you know, 10,000 Kuji tokens this period, like in this 14-day period, to anyone who delegates their Loop power to us. And so you as a user on the Loop platform will be able to just go, okay, delegate to Kuji. And then based on the amount of loop power you delegate to Kuji compared to, you know, the total amount of loop power delegated to Kuji, you'll get your share of those 10,000 Kuji tokens. You'll kind of farm those Kuji tokens on the on the Loop platform itself. So that's another way that users individually will just be able to, you know, use their Loop power. Obviously for users, you know, there's not a lot of benefit for them directly in being able to vote on, you know, increased farming rewards on farms or even on the poll NFTs, because, you know, their vote power would be so low that it's not actually going to, you know, provide much value to them unless they've got a massive position, you know, in that farm, for example. But, you know, this is a way that individual users will be able to kind of use their Loop power to get extra returns, extra rewards from various protocols, you know, without needing necessarily to have those massive positions in the farms or poll NFTs. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that sounds brilliant. Like, it just sounds much more, individual user friendly than what's happening sort of like on the Astroport war level, which really benefits maybe the largest LP holders, like, you know, professional industrial grade LPs, and doesn't necessarily help as much individuals, I think, in terms of like governance or like immediate benefit to their own LPs. I think this is a ultimately an easier to understand model for the individual as opposed to like some sort of power player, which is cool.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, Loop is kind of, you know, we've always sort of, I guess, wanted to be kind of, you know, the DEX for the people, like the DEX for smaller projects, you know, for smaller people. We don't have kind of the, I guess, the network to kind of attract like the massive whales, although of course, you know, we would love them to come and use Loop as well. But, you know, we do really want to provide a great experience. I mean, we want to attract the masses as well. I mean, that's kind of where we're headed. We're trying to make crypto simple. We're trying to give great education to people and just allow normal people to come on and, you know, get as much benefit from crypto as they possibly can. So, I mean, that's kind of our target market, I suppose. And, you know, this is, we want to, you know, even this is kind of, even though this is kind of a fairly complex part of the DEX, you know, tokenomics, we still want to make it very accessible to everyday users and have them be able to get some sort of benefit from it as well. And the other thing is, not all of our rewards are going to be determined by Loop power. Only about, you know, we're looking at probably giving out maybe 300 and, you know, between 300 and 350 million Loop tokens for farms, for poll NFTs and whatnot over the next 4.5 years. And only 200 million of those are going to be voted on by Loop power. So the other sort of, the rest is going to be decided on based on, you know, volume in the pools and things like that. So it won't be a system which can be entirely, you know, I guess, gamed by a big player who could just come along and, you know, make sure that their pool is the only one which receives any of the rewards, any of the Loop rewards.
Cool. Yeah, Simon, did you have a comment?
I might bring AJ up because AJ's been, you know, the wizard. He's an awesome part of the Loop team, and he's been actually so instrumental to this process, especially around, you know, we've all got a million things going on and working out the maths and everything for the VE model's been quite, you know, challenging, and it's a lot of work that goes in. And, you know, AJ stepped up and really just put his brain to it, and he's a, you know, a genius when it comes to this stuff. So I know he put his hand up before, so I thought I'd bring him up and add to that for sure.
Yeah, go for it, Jake.
You guys hear me good?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, thank you, Simon. I appreciate that. And I just want to add on to something that Tom was saying and CPI as well. When you were talking about, like, how is this going to be beneficial to the user, and how, like, you know, you were mentioning how people are getting kind of concerned, like, you know, we're delegating all our tokens to one protocol. So with our model, with the boost, you know, they're going to have the option to choose, do I want to lock my Loop up for more Loop power to utilize the boost? And then also with the bribes, in a way, as we mentioned, when the other protocols are, you know, offering their tokens to our users, if they decide to delegate their voting, they're also going to be earning more yield there as well. So really, like, it comes down to is if some users don't mind delegating their tokens there, they can, but they can also keep it with themselves and use the Loop power to get the boost on their farms.
Yep, very nice.
Exactly. Yeah, so yeah, a range of ways. Yeah, AJ's been doing my head in with some complex spreadsheets over the last week. So yeah, thanks so much, AJ, for your really hard work on this. Just like to say, publicly say thanks.
I really appreciate it. Thank you, man.
Yeah, I know Hutch has got some questions as well. So yeah, it'd
be awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, I'll just share kind of the elephant of the room that probably a lot of people are thinking, you know, with the whole Terra Alt thing, we've all been burned by chasing bright, shiny objects. You guys have been around for a while. And so kind of my approach is to take more of the Warren Buffett approach, where I'm kind of looking for things that have been around for a while. They're beat up. You hear the team, you hear all the shipping that's going on. You guys have a lot of stuff going on. So, you know, I was starting to get attracted to the Loop token at 8 and 9, and now we're down to 6. And I started actually increasing some farm sizes to accumulate it. But with farms, I'm worried that when it goes up, if I'm farming it, I'll actually lose some of the token that I want. So I'm looking at your staking options, and it looks like there's a 12 month, an 18 month, a 3 month, really attractive yields like 35, 91, 127 respectively. Have you guys thought of doing like a fully liquid one, even if it's more watered down, just for degen folks like me that kind of need to stay liquid? You never know when you're going to have to defend loans on Anchor, Mirror, all these things. And would that, like, are the different levels of the staking, does that give me like a pro rata amount of Loop power to boost my farms and voting power and such?
Yeah, exactly. So the different lengths of the staking will definitely give you a different amount of Loop power. We have considered offering a liquid staking option. We'll probably go down to a 1 month option, I think, as the minimum. I don't know if we're going to have like a fully liquid option, just because obviously liquid options are great for users, but we don't really believe they bring a lot of value to the protocol, just for that very reason. You know, as soon as there's a market downturn, people can kind of, you know, dump out as, you know, as soon as they want. And in the end, that's not actually bringing stability or value to the token holders. And, you know, sure. In our case, the token value is so important because, you know, our token value is what gives us the APRs on our farms, right? So if the value of the token goes down, then we have to increase the rewards on those farms in order to maintain the same APR. So sure. You know, anyone who's locking their tokens up and is kind of contributing to the stability of the price deserves to be rewarded. And yeah, so we tossed around for a while. Look, we're still open to the idea of a liquid staking option. We haven't sort of totally, you know,
that makes sense,
put it off the radar. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, we might go down. We were even talking about a week, you know, maybe just doing as low as a week as far as staking, like provide some, you know, some kind of value. But look, we're open to feedback. So yeah, it's good to hear
it's still degen friendly though, right? It's still degen friendly because while you're in the position, you are accruing Loop, not just Loop power. And you're able to harvest 50% of the Loop that you accrue. You know, there is a penalty on your Loop power. So, you know, Loop power is affected by the number of days left in your counter. So if you're 50% through a 1 year position that you only have 6 months left, your Loop power will drop. And also if you are harvesting all those rewards, and not reinvesting them back into that position, then, you know, your Loop power will be reduced as well. But so maybe for, you know, a stupid degen like you,
yeah,
you can harvest.
I can trickle out of them. The other thing is, like, one of the things I thought was super innovative that you guys were doing was you went IBC and you started bringing Osmo over and Adam. And I thought that was really cool because, you know, it's a little bit of a process going over there and doing all that stuff. But for people that just want the one-stop shop, they can pick it up here on Terra and get really, really nice farming rewards with you guys. I know one of the things that they do over there, which is cool, like if you do Osmo specifically, where you can basically stake, super stake, I forget what they call it, super stake or something like that, the Osmo that's in the farm. Have you thought of a model like that, maybe with your Loop? And I realize that kind of goes against, like, that now there's no liquid, if you don't have liquid staking, but even if you did it 1 month, to where, hey, if I go in this farm and commit to it for a month or whatever, I can get the farming rewards and I can liquid stake my Loop. Is something like that possible?
Yeah, we've had a look at, I think, super liquid staking or something like that, they call it, some right. cool crazy yes. name. We haven't, I mean, we've kind of looked at the model for sure. Look, I guess we've got so many things on the radar at the moment that it hasn't been something that we've, you know, put too much time into. But, yeah, again, it's definitely something we could look at in the future. But just going back for a second to your question a minute ago, Hutch, the other cool thing, as Simon mentioned before, with your staking positions is we're going to have the option to mint those into NFTs, which means even though you can't pull out of them, you'd be able to mint them into an NFT and then sell that NFT. So if you do desperately need to, you know, pull out of a position and liquidate it, that will be one option. And of course, you know, NFTs aren't as liquid as tokens, so you know there might be a problem kind of selling that quickly if you really need to. You really need sure. some capital.
But there's if an you escape sell it for hatch. Cheap enough.
Yeah, yeah, if you sell yeah. it for cheap enough, then someone will definitely buy it from you. And, you know, yeah, there's an escape hatch of some kind. So it's kind of almost like a stop loss, you know, that you'll be able to do that.
Yeah, and I'm hoping not to. Like I said, I mean, I you guys got on my radar screen about probably 5 or 6 weeks ago, and I've been increasing my farm size just to accumulate, and the token price has gone down, which I realize isn't great for you, but I'm thinking, okay, great, I'm stacking more Loop, and all this stuff you're talking about is just really, really, really cool. So this is one of the ones that, you know, hopefully we're not going into some kind of mega bear here, but that when things bounce, I foresee you guys bouncing hard. Obviously not investment advice, but now I'm just wondering, okay, maybe I want to take it out of the farm, and how do I boost that up? And it seems like one of these pools, you know, I'm looking at all of them. I don't know what the 1 month would be, but that, what the gentleman just shared with me, the fact that I can at least kind of unstake and harvest my rewards if I really need it. At least it's, there's some liquidity. That's helpful. I don't know about dumping an NFT. That's just like, yeah, if all hell is breaking loose, but no, that's really cool. I know at some point, I know you guys have a lot of topics, but you're pushing to Latin America. I think it's just massive, massive for mass adoption, and I think that's just a really super innovative move. So at some point I'd love to hear more about that.
Actually did a Terabytes interview this morning, and we talked a lot about the Latin American side of things, so just check out their live stream from this morning, and you'll be able to hear all about it. I won't go over it again now, but yeah, we're doing some cool stuff down there.
I had a couple of user experience questions to see like where we were on these. So one of those is, so when you're in a LP and you're accumulating Loop tokens in that LP, there's no way right now to claim them without exiting the LP, which is a little bit weird. And like, I'd like to be able to like take those Loop tokens that I'm accruing there and stake them.
Yeah.
Do I lose anything by like unstaking my LP, claiming those, And then restaking, besides having to wait, like, I guess, a couple of weeks or whatever it is to sort of like unlock that position again, yeah, or whatever the story is. But do I lose anything by unstaking, or do I lose any serious time or lose any serious tokens or anything like that? Because it's a confusing user experience that probably needs.
Yeah, no, good question. And I'm glad you asked, Adam. And I'm glad Hutch is an awesome farmer, too. But yeah, so we are launching our new farms and our new pools, which is a much better user experience for everyone and gives you a lot more options when you're farming. So currently, there are no negative downsides to, you know, unstaking and claiming and then refarming. However, in our new farms, right, we have a harvest button, so you can harvest much easier, much simpler. But better than that, because we always take things one level further, right? We have a auto compound button. So when you farm, right, there is a minimum 24-hour farming period. It used to be 7 days. We're changing it to 24 hours to make, you know, all the DJs, especially like Hutch, happy. Number two, after the 24-hour period, you can then harvest however often you want. Or if you want to, you know, improve your tax situation, this is not financial advice, but we've been told that Americans get taxed every time they hit that button. So we've added an extra one called auto compounding, which will auto compound your rewards in the reward pool and daily. So you get the highest APY for true APY, because we list our yield in both APR and APY when you hover over the I. And your minimum farming period does increase to 3 months, but at least when you do harvest at the end of that period, you're harvesting as much as possible, and you only pay tax on that single event.
Yeah, all of those kinds of like details matter, not only because, yeah, like you said, taxes are a pain in the ass for a lot of us, but simultaneously, you know, to some extent, we just want to fire and forget, right? Like, and that sort of benefits the protocol too, in the sense that like if people have something running, they leave their liquidity there, you don't really, you certainly don't want to make it inconvenient to have to go back and push buttons. So
absolutely. Just one last bit on that as well. CeFi, we're also going to have a button where you can harvest and stake with one click. So you'll be able to harvest, you know, and then automatically stake that into one of our staking pools as well. That will be another option. So just to simplify and smooth out that user experience, we'll be offering
that.
That's
what I was wondering about. Yeah, that's perfect. Because right now you have those time staked positions. Now, describe to me like a little bit more. So from a user experience perspective, we have those time staked positions for Loop. How does that then translate to the Loop Power sort of user experience? Like if I go into those, am I also accumulating sort of like, I don't know, what do you call them? Power points? Is it a different coin? Like what's happened? What's like, what does that look like?
Yeah, Loop Power. So it's not going to be a token at this stage. It's just going to be, you know, essentially a PowerPoint. And that's right. The longer you stake for, the longer you lock for. So actually our new staking will work a little bit different to the current model. The current model, you can actually unstake at any time, but you just forfeit your rewards. The new model that we'll be doing, once you've locked up into a staking position, it will actually be locked. But you'll be able to harvest your rewards on a daily basis. You'll be able to harvest 50% of the rewards daily, and the other 50% you won't be able to harvest until the end of the term. But essentially, the longer you're locked up for, the more Loop Power you'll have. And I think, like Simon said before, as that countdown ticks down, so, you know, if I'm locked up for, say, a three-month period, as that countdown ticks down towards less than 3 months, I'll start to lose Loop Power progressively. But I'll be able to restake or reset the timer at any point. So, you know, if 2 weeks has passed on a three-month position, then I'll be able to just reset that and it'll, like, go back to the full amount of Loop Power that position would have given me. And, yeah, it also auto-compounds any unharvested rewards that I've got also. And also, if you do harvest rewards during that time, that will also reduce your Loop Power. But if you leave all your rewards there without being harvested, that will give you the absolute maximum amount of Loop Power on that position. So there's a few kind of tricky little calculations in there. We'll obviously be releasing, you know, some documents on all that once AJ and ourselves have kind of sorted out all of the intricate details. But, yeah, I hope that kind of gives you the general picture.
So for now, just so we know we don't push the wrong buttons, if we go into the staking pools now for Loop, is the Loop Power going to be sort of like added to that such that we don't have to push any more buttons, or should we wait to stake right now?
There's no need to stake. Yeah, we'll have a migration tool. Once we release it, we'll be allowing people the option of either pulling out of the positions entirely or just migrating over to the new staking Loop Power contracts. You know, with one click, it'll just be a one-click migration. And then when you do that, it'll basically keep your existing position. So, you know, if you've got a month and a half left on your existing position, you'll have a month and a half left on the new position. It'll bring across your rewards with you as well. And then it will give you Loop Power on top of that. So, yeah, I mean, there's no reason people should be worried about, you know, not staking perfect now or waiting or anything else. There'll be a really smooth migration process. And at the same time, there'll be a way if people do decide to pull out, they'll be able to do that as well. Because like I said, with the new positions, once you're locked in, you'll be locked in. So we'll kind of give people an escape hatch if they want one.
There's so many situations where in DeFi you figured, oh, crap, I pushed the wrong buttons. And next thing you know, stuck out or whatever. And they're like, oh, I got to wait however many months to sort of fix this problem.
Got to wait a year and a half before I get my tokens out of here.
Exactly. So,
worry. We try to be as transparent as possible. Yeah, you'll have to mint them to an NFT. That's right.
Actually, the NFT marketplace sounds super interesting to me because if people do want to sell and I'm able to buy, you know, people's sort of like otherwise distressed positions for like a discount. It's not that different from like participating in a liquidation in a sense. You can take over a position that someone else doesn't want, but they're obviously going to have to charge you less than it's actually worth, because otherwise who's going to go and like take that off your hands during a time of distress? And then it just seems like an interesting sort of like tool for, like Hutch said, for the degen who needs to get rid of something, but then simultaneously he could say, hey, by the way, could someone, you know, buy this NFT off of me and post it on Twitter, and then someone else goes and buys it from him. Problem solved.
we might even need to create a marketplace where people can put in a buy order ahead of time. So, you know, you can actually say, look, like, I will like buy any 3 month positions. Or literally just have like a marketplace on the UI where you can put in a bid for something, you know, before it's even being sold. And then you go, look, if anyone sells any 3 month loop positions, you know, for more than 25% discount, I'll buy it. And then you obviously escrow your funds into it. And then as soon as one, just like Kuji's kind of liquidation marketplace, right? And then it just automatically gets, it automatically gets bought out if someone does actually offer it up. So that's probably.
Go ahead.
That was me. I'm done.
You never know, right? These NFTs may be trading at a premium, right? We don't know what the market does. Like, but the reason why that actually could happen is because in the future, we'll allow users to wrap utility around any NFT. So if you've just bought your favorite NFT on OpenSea, right, you use the wormhole bridge to bring it over, and then you wrap utility around it, whether it be, you know, an OG staking position or LP NFTs, then when you go to sell that, if you have to in distress, you can either unwrap it, reverse that process, or you can sell it as is and it might trade at a premium.
You could have an NFT pawn shop tab where people can get flash loans and you just post it and you get like whatever, 25 cents on the dollar for a flash loan. And if whatever, you can't ever pay it back in the short period of time, then whatever, somebody buys your NFT at a discount.
That's pretty cool. Collateralize it.
That's hilarious.
So we got a hand up from Pickle Rick. It's not Pickle Rick. It's just Rick. He's been waiting for a little while.
It can be Pickle Rick if you want. It's a great form of Rick.
Agreed.
Big fan of Loop. I've been using it a lot pretty much since January. And when you guys did the Luna X pool, that really, I was like, okay, I'm all in. And that's really when I started to accumulate as much Loop as I possibly could. So kudos on everything you've done so far. Just to follow up on Safi's point for the migration. So it's just going to be a one button, because I have a lot of pools, and as Safi knows, it's not the easiest user interface right now. So it's going to be one button per pool. Like I think I missed a little bit on the migration.
Yeah, great question, and thanks for being a legend. So you guys will see that we are very good and will be very good at migrations. So with the new migrations to the new pools and the new farms, you know, the very efficient pools with the new bonding curves and the new farms with the auto compounding daily and harvest buttons, there will be a migration wizard. And in that migration wizard, there will be two options. There'll be a simple and an advanced. So you can do a simple one click and it will just show you what your new position will be and the leftover tokens that will be deposited to your wallet. You know, from a permanent loss and any other factor. Or there'll be the advanced option where you can go in and decide how much you want to repool, whether it be less, the same, or more, you know, hopefully more. And then it'll, in one click, it'll just do the entire process for you. And then on the new farm page, there will be a button to harvest all. So if you have 25 farming positions, you just hit one button and bang. It'll ask you, okay, cool. Which pool do you want to put those into for voting power, or do you just want to harvest?
You got to make it idiot proof for me, so that's perfect. Thank you so much.
Banana proof is what we call it.
Have you guys thought of putting in any kind of you know how you can, some systems they'll just allow you to provide UST, and then it will split. Split the pool perfectly. So you just do a one click, you know, like, okay, I want to put 1,000 UST in, click a button, and then, you know, it splits it into the requisite components that you need at that moment. And then what's really nice from an efficiency standpoint sometimes is to be able to exit a pool just straight to UST as well. Any thoughts on maybe doing something like that, or have you guys thought about
it? Yeah, that's a bloody good question. So the reason why our migration wizards are so good is because we've been building a wizard called a farming wizard. And this guy, same thing, will have a simple and an advanced view, and it'll go through all of your dust, token dust, LP dust, farm dust, whatever dust you may have. And it'll also recommend what assets in your portfolio you can use to get the highest yield from our highest yielding farms. And in one click, it'll wipe out your dust, rebalance your wallet, pool, farm, bank.
Oh, that's fascinating stuff.
Yes. So with that, cool. You'll be able to choose, like, for example, not just UST, but the idea there is you'd be able to go like, okay, I want to use, 5,000 worth of UST, 2,000 worth of Kuji, 3,000 worth of Loop, and $1,000 worth of Apollo. And you'll be able to have little sliders for each of those. And then it will automatically convert it into like 50% Luna, 50% UST, and pull it and farm it for you all in one click. So yeah, you'll essentially be able to turn, all in one go, any number of tokens into a 50-50 split for a particular pool.
Yeah, that's super interesting. So you can just like take all the crap in your wallet that you don't think you're going to use and just provide liquidity with that. That's neat. Very nice.
A quick shout out to the markets, like within the markets that are kind of being created here. Like how Hutch mentioned, let's think about like when you normally lock a token, right? You lock it out, you lock it up for X amount of time, and then you get your voting power, and then that's, you're stuck in that. That's what you have, But with our NFTs, where you're going to be able to, mint that locked position and sell it out there, we're essentially creating a market within a market, because now there's a market for people that are going to be buying those positions. And also with, the staking, with the other protocols coming on and offering their bribes, it creates another market there where they're going to be, going against each other for who's offering the highest reward on somebody's Loop power. So I just thought that was like really interesting. And I'm glad that it's kind of clicking with everybody. Just wanted to mention that.
Yeah. So you
have, that's a great.
I was going to say, Tom, AJ, so basically you could have a situation where a Prism comes in and gets more power and incentivizes, let's say, some of the the Prism primitive pools. And then if I have some of those Prism primitive pools, I can additionally assign my personal Loop power to try to boost that further. Do I have the mechanics right there?
Not exactly. Do you want to go ahead, Tom?
No, you go, AJ.
Okay, thank you. So pretty much what I'm thinking of is, right, let's say Kuji comes in, or Prism for your example, right? They're going to deposit 1 million of their tokens, right? And they're going to ask for X amount of Loop power per $1, like $1 worth of their tokens. They're going to request X amount of Loop power from our users. And then another protocol can come in and say, hey, we'll give you $1 of our token for less Loop power, to create that market where, they're going against each other because they both want the Loop power, but they don't, they also want to compete with their prices. You know what I mean? Like gas stations and gas or something. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. Cool.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to say about AJ's comment before was, we really are creating different forms of markets here with the NFTs, because no longer will you be able to buy tokens just, on the spot market. You'll be able to buy an NFT, which has a certain number of those tokens attached to them, which is going to be vested over a certain period of time. So, it's just another, it's basically another vehicle or another instrument through which you can obtain these tokens. And yeah, we're kind of interested to see how it's actually going to impact, on the spot price of the token market.
Another sort of idea that's been swimming around in my head as far as something I would like to see, and I think Nebula Protocol is doing a little bit of, going this route in terms of their clusters, they call them, is the idea that, so let's say Hutch and I really like liquid stake tokens like an SQG, XAstro, XPrism, Luna X, you know, you name it. And we would like to provide like, let's say a pile of all of those. Like we're just fans of that. Is there some way, the way that AMMs work, where in theory you could have a page where people could just dump off their liquid staked tokens, and somehow that allows you to sort of like fill in the pools in an asymmetric way, and people can get additional yields on those somehow? Or is that not a thing? I'm just sort of making shit up as I go, but like the magic pool would be, in a sense, as an owner, would be like being able to own all these liquid stake things, so they're earning in the background versus earning like owning like just Luna versus Luna X, because if you're going to hold it there, right? So from a user perspective, that seems really enticing. But the problem is, from an AMM perspective, I think Simon and I chatted about this at one point, that from a protocol perspective, that may not be where the traffic is between the coins, but there might be people that are going to go between, say, like, I don't know, a bonded Luna and a Luna X eventually. But I'm just wondering if it's even feasible to do like a pool that, you know, that on the protocol back end, it sort of takes care of it. But on the front end, you could basically go in and like single-sided just deposit like a bank the liquid staked token somehow. Does that make sense at all, or is that even a possible product?
Sort of like our AUST pools, where you can be both providing liquidity and earning yield on Anchor at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. So the idea is like somehow the token that you own is actually the liquid staked token in the background, but like but you guys in the background can like make it work to where you're sort of providing liquidity, and it's like maybe a seamless experience otherwise for the DEX user. I don't even know if that's feasible or not, like to be able to do.
No, it's definitely feasible, and it's kind of what we're working on with our aggregator, because and as Simon said, the AUST pools are kind of like that, because obviously, you know, we've got, for example, we've got a UST Luna pool and we've got an AUST Luna pool. And at the moment, as a user, you have to choose, right? Do I want to swap my Luna for UST, or do I want to swap my Luna for AUST? It's not that useful. But what our new aggregator will do is, when I swap, let's say I swap Luna for UST, it might take 50% of my trade out of the Luna UST pool, and it'll take the other 50%, it'll go Luna AUST, and then it'll go AUST Luna. So it'll basically, you know, it'll sort of route and split that trade into a number of different pools. And so from the user perspective, you know, the user who's doing the swaps perspective, they'll just be swapping Luna for UST. They won't necessarily know or care what's going on in the back end. But obviously for the liquidity providers, it means that the liquidity providers can have their assets across a range of different pools, and even some pools which people might not swap directly in. You know, like people might not swap directly from like SQG to, you know, whatever it is, XAstro, for example, or even SQG to AUST. But the aggregator will kind of take care of that, and, you know, it'll choose the best route at the time to give the user the best price, but at the same time it'll use those kind of more obscure pools as part of the process of swapping. So I think, is that kind of what you're referring to?
Yeah, I feel like the willingness of people to provide liquidity, I could be totally wrong about this, but my suspicion is the willingness for a lot of people to provide liquidity, if they're able to do so with all these liquid staked tokens, it just seems super appealing to me. If that's made easy and like possible in a sense, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we can see already like the Luna X Luna pool is one of our biggest pools. And so, yeah, or even the AUST pools have been really popular. So obviously, yeah, people do want to stake those liquid tokens because, you know, they're getting essentially double yield on the pool.
Right. It's like in my head, it's like, how do I get the ST Luna Luna X pool is kind of what, you know, that's like the DGen wet dream or whatever. So
right, or the exactly the ST Luna Lunar X is exactly you're getting full staking rewards plus, you know, trading fees plus farming rewards all on the same thing. And then if you could take that LP position and stake it as well, then you'd be like, yeah,
and
triple dipping,
then
I guess.
Then you take that and refract it or whatever, and then like, you know,
exactly.
I'm just spitballing here, but I feel like it could be possible with the NFT marketplace. You know, deciding that that's the pool that you want to enter in, you know, if there's a certain amount of rewards that are delegated to it, then it could be beneficial.
Yeah, interesting.
Definitely.
Concept.
Yeah, look, yeah, all sorts of interesting things we can do. But I think our aggregator is going to make all of these things much easier because, as I said, that will kind of take care of all the swap process on the back end. And so the user won't, the front end user who's just trying to swap from one token to another, you know, that they won't even notice or care what's kind of happening on the back end.
Yeah. Hey, Ben, question. Ben, are you there? Let me see if Ben and Phil, I think, had questions here. I'm not sure if Ben's...
I think they're on mute.
Yeah, maybe. Let me see.
Oh, you think you're on mute, guys? Ben?
I know.
What about you, Escape Hutch?
Let me get some folks on here that...
My Escape? About
Escape Hutch. Escape Hutch. No, I was making a joke. I was going to say it before and I missed it. I was going to say Escape Hutch.
Call it the Escape Hutch.
Actually, Sefi, can I ask you a question? Is it Sefi or CeFi? I'm confused now.
Sefi.
Sefi, right. I was like, CeFi, DeFi. I thought maybe it was a CeFi, but no. Sefi. I was like, there's all these FIs around, you know? There's like DeFi, TradFi, you know, I thought maybe it's just another one. Like, wasn't quite sure what C was for, but anyway, good to know. Cheers.
We're Aussies. We just add I to everything. I thought I was been calling you CeFi for ages.
Sefi sounds so much cooler, though.
Yeah, it's very sci-fi. Tadashi, do you have a question?
Yeah, one comment is just, you know, I love the space. I love the Loop Finance. I got into my first liquidity pool on accident on Osmosis, but then when I discovered Loop, I'm glad I had some extra information, but I got so much information from your guys' video, so thank you so much. I just had a quick question. I know you just touched on it, and I'm relatively new to LPs, but wanted to drop my strategy to see if I'm kind of on the right track of what I'm doing. So I right now have AUST and the Loop. I invested into that, and I plan on just taking the rewards and splitting it back up into AUST and just keep feeding that pool and bringing more pools from my Osmosis over, and then just keep adding all my Loop rewards and putting it back into the Loop AUST pool. And that just continues to grow my AUST is what my goal is, because that's the yield off the Anchor UST. So instead of just leaving it in Anchor, I am getting like a little boosted benefit. Am I on the right track?
Yeah, absolutely on the right track. AUST is a self appreciating asset. So it's going to just increase in value. So you know, every day, I don't know what it's at the moment. I think it's probably at like 1.19 or something like that. But you know what that means is like for every AUST, you get 1.19 UST back. And that's just going to increase over time. So you know, in 6 months' time, it'll probably be like 1.35 or something. You know, it'll be more. I mean, it's now appreciating it at the rate of 18% per year. So you know, just you can do the calculations there. But yeah, you're definitely on the right track. AUST, even if it's in a pool or a farm, is still going to appreciate in value over time, and you're still getting that anchor benefit.
Perfect. Thank you guys so much. And and another last question, Sefi, is this going to be posted on your page or anything to go back? Because I got in late, but I tagged it on my page so I could hopefully go back. Because
yeah,
it's recorded.
It's recorded, and also terraspaces.org is here too. So
love those guys. Perfect.
Yeah, so they'll have it at some point. They'll usually kind of like edit it a little bit and park it on their site. So definitely check them out.
Okay, perfect, guys. Thank you so much. I love these spaces. I've learned so much. And cool. Have a great day.
Yeah, and Ben, let's see if Ben made it back. I'm not sure if he's AFK or what happened to Ben, but maybe he's busy or something. Anyway, yeah, actually, let me drop Ben, because since I can't seem to find him anyway. And let me make sure Phil is trying to get up here. One moment. Lucky, I'm going to drop you off here because we're out of space on there. And where'd Phil go? Oh, there he is. Let me get him up. Phil, you there?
I am here. What's up, everyone?
Go ahead, man. Yeah, hit it.
I'm hitting it. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, cool. What am I doing?
Well, you actually came up to do speaker, so I was just checking to see if you had any questions.
Oh, I was going to wait till the topic was over, but we should talk about Mars and stuff.
Oh, well, that's, yeah, different thing entirely. I was just doing this with Loop.
I know.
All the Loop guys
are here. I got a quick question for Loop. So, you know how it says right now my staking rewards in the next hour? Have I already claimed a lot of those, or do I need to kind of wait for on the hour? So I'm looking to just unclaim and grab some Loop to stake it, and then I'm going to go back and I'm going to reprovide the farm. But is there a detriment to like doing it off the hour?
Yeah, good question. So every time period, and this time period is changing to 6 hours, is when rewards actually get distributed. So that next reward estimate is showing you how many rewards you're most likely to receive when that countdown ends. So you haven't actually received those rewards yet. You have to wait till like time it ends. Then our contracts will distribute those rewards to each person. So if you want to harvest as much as possible, you wait till like countdown ends.
And is it on the hour, or do I just kind of watch the number, and when it goes back to like 0, 1, or 2 or whatever, do I just keep an eye on it? Or
yeah, exactly. Keep an eye on it, and there should be some text that, you know, below the position or to the left that tells you, you know, how many seconds are left. And then, when that resets, that's when the contract has distributed your rewards, and then you can pull them out.
Cool. Thank you.
Sure.
Great. Any others that want to kind of hop up? Anybody else have any questions while the team is here? I think I've got my questions answered. So
I saw Lucky kind of requested up as well, so I'm not sure if he wants to jump back up.
Let me grab him back here if he's available. I'm not sure if he... Lucky, you there?
Just in the meantime, maybe I'll touch on like the benefit to like just in tokenomics, because I think sometimes people see all the different pieces and I'll be making a couple of videos to kind of help tie everything together and how this deals with, you know, value accrual. You see it does with V models and stuff like that. But I think all the pieces coming together are really beneficial for, you know, like the Loop token in general. And I know we don't talk about kind of price too much and stuff. It's, you know, not financial advice and everything, but just in general, like looking at value capture for the token. And I think for a long time, many people didn't see the value capture of the Loop token. And they were, you know, always looking at it's just a farm token. It's all this sort of stuff. But when you actually start piecing all of these different pieces together and you start looking at the scope of it, you, especially looking at multiple revenue streams, right? We don't just have the revenue stream of the DEX being fed into the token. We have the NFT marketplace as well as other streams. But then on top of it is the fact that we're building, you know, the more efficient bonding curves, and we're building the, you know, the aggregator. We're going to start to, especially there was a recent announcement around, you know, TerraSwap building an aggregator as well. So we're going to start to get a lot more volume than we have currently based on our efficiency and based on our pools and based on our aggregator. And all of that, like obviously those trading fees then being collected and they're, you know, used to buy back the Loop at market and distributed into the staking pools. So it creates this cool kind of, you know, circular motion. And then you have the, you know, the vote escrow side, which is also, you know, locking up Loop out of circulation for a period of time, as well as, you know, the value accrual that comes from the NFT marketplace and, you know, the DEX. So looking at all these things tying together and kind of working towards a vision. You know, it's been a lot of building up to now, but there's all these pieces that are starting to fall into place. You know, we have the Anchor Borrow widget as well, which is, we'll use the aggregator as well, where people can leverage as well on top of Loop. So all these pieces coming together and tying together to create this you know, amazing value capture for the Loop token. So you start to see things, you know, kind of really shift with these developments.
Yeah, that's a great point, actually, Simon. And I think, you know, lots of other, I feel like, you know, sometimes other protocols, or not necessarily other protocols, but I think, you know, the kind of tendency in crypto has been, every time you create a new product, you release a new token, right? You create a new protocol and then you release a token for that protocol. I mean, what we're doing, we're just addicted to building shit. So, you know, we just keep building new stuff, but we're kind of putting it all under the Loop banner. And, you know, all of the revenue from each of the products that we build too is all going to accumulate back to the Loop token. So rather than kind of, you know, just spinning up new protocols and new tokens each time, we're just going to, you know, continue to build out. And, you know, the Anchor Borrow widget is one example. Like, we take a 0.1% fee on that. And okay, it's only tiny, but I think already, you know, we've only had it up for a few days to the public. It's already accumulated like, you know, $120 or $130 worth of, you know, worth of UST, which is going to get swapped for Loop. But, you know, if we're going to keep building out kind of like these little mini products, which, you know, again, all of the value and all of the revenue from them is going to channel back into the Loop product and to the Loop token. So that's kind of, you know, I guess that's kind of our philosophy on how we like to build stuff.
Yeah. Loop's page also, I was going to say, on Twitter has a pretty good size following. And actually the reach of any messages that go out via Loop actually reach quite a few people, which is good. So yeah, I think this mixture of like the having the maybe marketing in the right place, and then now bringing all these sort of, you know, products in, making the DEX more efficient, getting a lot more, you know, like traffic in general. So it seems like a really big moment for Loop, just kind of looking at the broad overview, and it's kind of exciting. But yeah, very, very cool. So yeah, Simon, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no, great summary. So, you know, we don't want $2 billion TVL. You know, that's a liability, and that also lowers everyone's yield. What we want to do is be the most efficient by far with what we have. And we're, you know, we've spent 9-10 months building these bonding curve algorithms with a double professor in Australia, and that's going really well. And all we want to do is just have, you know, $500 million protocol owned liquidity as soon as we can. And then, you know, maybe even we limit how much liquidity people can add depending on their Loop power, because we want to maintain the highest yields on Terra we have from day one, you know, and that's our goal. So, you know, imagine doing more with less, and then creating like a network where only people who have the highest Loop power can benefit from this, you know. So we're trying to push all utility, all revenue, all profit into the one token instead of just, you know, copy paste, like Tom was saying, creating platform after platform after platform. We're just creating one big protocol that funnels all utility and profits into one.
Perfect. Let's take one last question here from Sugar. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, hi, guys. Just had a question on the LunaX pool. I've been just trying to reconcile like how that pool works in comparison to the Stator protocol and their page. So in the Stator page, it indicates an APR of 21.48. And I think that I was expecting that to come in and SD rewards, and they provide, you know, two different options in terms of adding liquidity to that pool. But of course, in your guys' option, it's, I think, in Loop, and the APRs were a little different in terms of the percentage. So I was just trying to understand if it's both or
the percentage that we show should be both. So it's the Stator rewards plus the Loop rewards. So it should be a little bit higher than what Stator's offering. And the Stator, I mean, on their platform, you should be able to claim the Stator rewards. And then on our platform, you claim the Loop rewards. So you have to actually claim it in both places.
Understood. Okay, so you kind of get a double dip on those.
You get a double dip. Yeah, exactly. You get Loop tokens from us, and you get Stator tokens from them. And it doesn't matter. I mean, they offer their rewards irrespective of whether you provide your liquidity on Loop or on TerraSwap. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we only reward people who are providing their liquidity on Loop. So yeah, but you do have to claim it from both places.
Sure. Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Mikey, go ahead.
Oh. Hey guys. Yeah, most of my questions were answered, but you did bring up something I wanted to just ask. With TFM coming into the ecosphere, are you seeing volume increase? Are you seeing an impact with that? I mean, how does that play with you guys, or what do you guys see from your side on that?
It hasn't really made a massive difference. I mean, they've had their aggregator out for a while now, and you know, it's a bit hard, I guess, from our side to see how much that's kind of impacting on our volume or not, because our volume goes up and down so much, like everyone's volume does, you know, based on the market conditions. So we haven't actually done any specific analysis on how much of our volume is coming through their aggregator. But, you know, as we've mentioned a few times, we're building our own aggregator, which will be a bit different to theirs. Ours will kind of, you know, try to favor the loot pools while at the same time giving the best price to the user. And it will also split and route the trades. So it won't just be kind of, you know, routing the trades through different DEXs. It'll actually be splitting the trades across a range of our different pools as well, which is something that I was sort of describing to Sefi a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
I noticed
that a lot of it does go through Loop, which is cool because I do look at the path. So you guys do win a lot on the aggregator, which I was just curious on the got a call. I see that a lot of it does go through Loop. So
yeah, solid. And that's going to increase. So when we haven't even released our new pools, our new bonding curves. So basically all these aggregators ping and query each pool to see what the current price is, what the price impact is, you know, as the trade size increases, that's when it starts splitting. And what will happen in the future is when all these aggregators, including ours, ping our pools, they'll be getting the best deals. So this is a very important part of our quest to make the most with less and increase our volume, you know, 100x.
That's awesome.
Trader Mag, did you have a comment too? I think Mac was waiting for saying something or another.
He's probably super impressed with our bonding curves.
Probably. Mac, are you there? He was trying to speak a second ago, and I'm not sure what happened.
And then can you guys add a Lambo calculator somewhere on your site?
agreed. Yeah, 0.4 Lambo.
I just want to know, like, all I want is a button that I just put money in and it says how long till I get my Lambo. That's it.
So I'm looking. That's Lucky asks everybody this, by the way.
And what color it's going to be. You can choose your color.
Look, I'm okay with the color because all these, like, you know, things that I got into never worked out. So maybe the Terra Ecosphere would be the spot. So we'll see.
We're working with a few metaverse projects. I'm sure we can like hustle you up a Lambo in one of those metaverse projects, Lucky.
Oh, great. I get a little metaverse Lambo. Cool.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna add that to the list actually. When to Lambo.
Perfect. Or maybe
there'll be a Loop Learn article about it, you know.
Yeah. It's either make me money or went Lambo. I don't care. One of the other.
Actually, I had an odd question indirect to all this, and I could DM you guys later, but company that made videos, educational videos, I think it's called Bread and Beyond, you said? I was wondering about, like, possibly commissioning additional videos, but do you recall what they charge exactly?
You can get in touch with me, Steve-Fi.
Okay.
If you DM me. I'm in direct contact, so...
Because some of these guys, like Hutch and Lucky and Donku and a whole bunch of other people, they actually have their YouTube channels going. And, you know, I'm just curious, like, what kind of, like, crazy money they charge and that kind of thing. But we'll get together about that. Because I think that
it's about 15K a video at least. They're not cheap.
They're not cheap. Okay.
They're not cheap. They're not cheap.
I figured they wouldn't be. Thank God. Thank God TFL's sponsoring them all for us. I mean, we've partnered with them and they're paying for it. So
yeah, I know they did White Whales video, which looked really cool. I know they did some TFL videos, which looked beautiful. Just curious. That's all.
Actually, I could
probably if you want a video made, ask Simon. He might be able to hook you up.
Yeah, I can drop a lot of alpha. I don't want to drop too much alpha here, but I could actually drop a little thing. So I've been working with TFL since maybe December on this project. And you know, we kind of went to them and was like, this is kind of what we would create. This would bring a lot of visibility to, you know, the Terra ecosystem and to crypto in general. There's really nothing like it in crypto so far to have, you know, a series of really easy videos to bring people into crypto and Terra. And actually, at the same time, they're being really, really high quality. So, you know, originally TFL wanted to make a video for each project in the ecosystem. So they're like, the whole idea was it was called, you know, the TFL community videos. And they're going to make a video for each different protocol, like an explainer video like Prism, like the Prism video was one of theirs. And that was the kind of the day one and the first plan. And I kind of came along and this is when I came into Loop and I said, we could build this really, really cool earn to learn platform. We could gamify it. We could do all this stuff with it. And let's bring crypto users in so that the user could come in and choose a difficulty level, choose what they want to learn about and go through a learning flow where they don't go to YouTube and they end up on, you know, 10 different sidetracks and down different videos. But instead they could come in and they could learn about, you know, what is Bitcoin from a conceptual position? Like, why does it exist? What is DeFi? What is it solving? You know, what is this? And go through the journey and have quizzes and gamification and go through the process and then go through different levels as they go along. So then they learn about Terra. Why is Terra different? What's the problem that UST is solving, that Luna is solving? And actually go through how to set up a wallet and do all this sort of stuff, right? And then, so we kind of pitched that to TFL and, you know, there's a little communication stuff. And then it just kicked into gear and it was just like massive days. I think like 15-hour days actually building the scripts for these videos and getting ready to be on to make these. And now we've got about 29 videos live, I think, or 28 videos live in the Loop Learn platform. These videos are actually going to get used quite heavily. This is a lot of alpha. I don't actually know if I'm allowed to drop this, but they're actually going to get used in the National Stadium as well in DC, which will send traffic to Loop Learn as well. And, you know, they're going to get highly used soon. I think TFL is just getting their, marketing and stuff sorted. We're working on like distribution and working on kind of how we can drive traffic to this. And you know, we're working behind the scenes as well on how we can build some kind of gamification and earn to learn mechanisms in it as well, so that we can actually just drive a lot of traffic to the Loop Learn platform. And what will happen is you'll actually go through the videos and as the, you get more skills in advance, then we're building, you know, that we're working on building at the moment videos for most of the ecosystem. So, you know, got Mars and you got Kuji and you've got so many Stata, and all of these will be in a, like, kind of almost in a database where you can actually go through and choose where you want to learn about. Plus, they've obviously got the videos to use for themselves as well.
Is there going to be kind of like a TFL like funding pool to do like a learn to earn type of concept in this? Like where, you know, like people, you know, walk through some stuff and then they get some free shit, or like what is the concept there?
Absolutely. So there's actually TFL's actually working on some really powerful stuff, but I don't want to release that because I know that kind of behind closed doors. You know, in terms of how can you actually get people into the ecosystem, and there's been a couple of good ideas around what if you could give someone like even a UST or five UST so they can actually set up their wallet and then they've got a UST or a couple of USTs to play with on different platforms. But for us, and the really kind of my vision around Loop Learn and what I really wanted to build into it was how can I actually build NFTs rather than just giving out tokens, and we'll give out tokens as well. So maybe we'll get a pull from a platform that's built a video and, you know, they want to incentivize people to watch their video and learn about their protocol. They may give out a pool of a certain number of tokens and then, you know, kind of similar to Coinbase Earn. But my vision is actually around how can we create this, these NFTs that actually add value to users, where instead of just earning tokens that, you know, obviously either get dumped or that they create inflation and emissions, how can we actually, imagine you watch a video on, how to add to a pool, right? How to farm. On how to add to a farm, then, you know, as the quiz, you have to go do an on-chain action, like go and actually provide liquidity on a pool. Could be a dollar of liquidity, doesn't matter, but you go and provide liquidity, the checks, and then you get a reward. You might get an NFT, which I'm still working on the mechanics of that. I'm trying to kind of build it into some gamification.
I've seen this model on a couple of platforms recently when I picked up some airdrops. I know like the Crescent Dex on Cosmos Hub did this, and like Stargaze, the NFT chain on Cosmos did this, where basically to pick up all of the five parts of your airdrop or whatever, you went and did this, 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 and this, and there was like a little bar that showed you, and then each time you finished one piece of it, you know, you got some of your airdrop, and it was kind of like that concept. And so it's difficult to sort of like game that with a bot or something like that, because, you know, the steps involved were, sufficiently complex enough to where, you know, it like, you couldn't just sort of like steal from the system. And that's always a problem with these kinds of things. But it's exciting. Like, yeah, I know Lucky and Hutch and I have talked about this kind of thing. And I know like Trevor has talked about it a bit. Bringing in that kind of like that learning landscape, and then of course like the doing it in Spanish and such, And things like that can be really cool. So yeah, whole lot of angles, but I think a lot of platforms like in the DeFi space are not doing this. And actually, like, when the problem I see right now is, like, when you Google something, you're sent to all the wrong places to do all the wrong things, potentially scammers and whatnot. I feel like eventually, if there's good content, it almost makes sense for like LFG or whatever to sponsor like cash for a group to do like a, like, actually pay for Google ads to basically like divert the scammers away from, and like, you know, you actually go to an ad that's paid for by somebody as opposed to scammers, and that leads you to more appropriate sites. And that could get kind of expensive, obviously. So that would be something more from a, like a TFL fund type of thing. But I think that would drive a lot of traffic and accrue a lot of value in terms of users that currently, like, when they type in DeFi or whatever, you know, they're going to who knows where, right?
What we can do together as well, and this has been talked about kind of behind doors, and of Nina and with Trevor and stuff as well, we've got a group called Terra Education Collective, and the idea is, you know, how can we work together to kind of maximize the reach of the Terra ecosystem? And, you know, I think there's a lot of room, even in these videos, for more advanced strategies and a more advanced section. So far on these, I haven't really gone down the route of giving advice or going down specific particular strategies, because that's kind of not been the purpose. And the idea is to kind of make it banana friendly, if you like. How can we make crypto easier? But, you know, there's obviously a lot of scope to be working on more advanced stuff in the learning journey. And it's a lot of developer stuff that we're also looking at, that we've been kind of working with other guys to build out. And, you know, our whole goal is, you know, to make this platform just super easy to access, always free, and just become like that, almost the onboarding platform for newbies into the Terra ecosystem, into crypto, where you could send your aunt there and you know that she's going to come in and she's going to learn about crypto based on what she needs. And so I see it as a collaboration thing where we can all work together to make something that, you know, better, and something that we can actually bring people into crypto in an easier fashion. And we just kind of, like, you know, it took us a little while with the platform. Like, we had to finish a few things, but now we're ready to kind of market it and get it out into Terra and stuff quite a lot.
Yeah. Like, Lucky in particular in his videos has done more of a like newbie onboarding kind of concept, you know, where you say, okay, like, I need to do something simple, like autos, you know, auto compounding stake something for maximum tax efficiency. Maybe the tool for you would be Stator Labs' auto compounder, or, okay, I want to go buy, you know, this sort of like yield bearing NFT, because it looks like an investing, it looks like a possible interesting thing to get on Loop or whatever, and then kind of guides them there, or, you know, guiding people to the actual Loop Learn platform so they can kind of interact with all those things. Yeah, it's just a lot of, I think maybe you guys should work with Lucky maybe and do it, like, an onboarding video on YouTube for Loop, you know, basically.
Absolutely. I'll just add one last thing, because this is something that even Nina has come aboard to help with, and I've got a call actually in a bit with. So, you know, we've been doing this in multiple languages. We've got teams of translators that are translating this into, you know, Spanish and Italian, and we're looking at, you know, being multilingual and being able to reach the whole world. But the really important piece behind this is I see Loop Learn as being almost like a first exposure platform for users, if you understand, not just sales, but, like, you know, users still go through the videos, and no matter how good the videos are, there's still going to be users that need that connection and support. They still need to kind of plug into communities. So we're working really hard behind the scenes to how can we build these, you know, catchments after Loop Learn, before Loop Learn or after Loop Learn, where users go through and they've got somewhere they can plug into to actually kind of help with questions, help with kind of connection into the space, like, okay, I'm in the space, I don't know anyone, what do I do? But also do this in multiple languages. So, you know, if we, you know, working with Nina and stuff to help set up these like a Spanish community that's a catchment, like where you can send traffic from Latin America to Loop Learn, and they learn about the basics and they're like, okay, I want to know more now. I've learned everything, but, you know, it's so, even if you learn all of it, it's still questions, and this still needs to be, you know, an hour YouTube video that's a little bit more in depth, right? So how can we can create all these kind of catchments and work out the best flows in which we can kind of catch users? And maybe it could be a thing that we send traffic to Loop Learn, and then you have YouTubers like Lucky that have longer videos and more in-depth strategies that can then help capture those users on a further degen level, right? So
even something like, you know, a list of the maybe major protocols that people would want to follow, for example, on Twitter, can be helpful, right? Because I've noticed a lot of protocols, you know, don't have that many people on their sort of like follower account. But I think that's because when you come into some DeFi protocol, you don't know who the heck to, like, you know, you don't know where to go. Like, you don't have any idea where to get the information and when they're going to release things and all that kind of stuff.
So big time. And we're building a forum as well. So we're actually building a forum part of the community as well. So you'll be able to actually, I think there'll be so many synergies in which we can kind of, you know, and this is where feedback's so important. I think visibility for us is super important because it's really easy to build Loop Learn and, you know, then get everyone's like, oh, it's great. It's amazing. But then we also want the criticism and the feedback of what can be done better. But, you know, we ought to funnel people from, you know, Loop Learn even into, you know, a the forum where each protocol can have its own sections with its own links and everything as well. So there's so many things that we can actually do with this, as well as having, you know, protocol videos in there with links and maybe a button that you can watch a white whale video and then press and it brings you to white whale. And just creating this kind of like web in which we can kind of help users go through this journey and find out where the gaps are, and using kind of the community feedback to just go, hey, there's a gap here. How do we fill this gap? How do we best help catch all these new users coming through to make sure that, you know, everybody kind of comes into Terra and gets the best experience?
Yeah, cool. Yeah, excellent, everybody. You know, I was going to, like, it's been a couple of hours almost. I know these things kind of drag on, but everyone was sort of interactive. I was just kind of kept it going, and it seemed like, you know, nobody needs sleep or work anyway. So everyone's just hanging out here from Loop. So
this is a short space for you. This is a short space for you.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. So I do my part. So, make sure you kind of follow everyone from Loop and, like, you know, certainly send people questions if you have very specific, sort of information. And, like, yeah, we're all kind of here to help each other out and kind of make things better, which is great. Thanks everyone for hopping on, and I think we'll probably break now because I think we covered most people's questions, and then I think Phil had some other stuff to talk about. We'll open up a different space that's specific to that, so we can break this for Terra Spaces, so that, like, they, you know, we can share this as a Loop specific discussion. But very good, everybody. We'll catch up.
Thank you so much, Sefi. Thank you so much for taking the time and hosting it. You've been an amazing host, and Hutch and Lucky and everyone else has been up as well. And thanks everyone for listening in. And thanks for being part of this awesome community, which is Terra and the whole blockchain ecosystem in general. And catch you all in Austin, hopefully. We'll be there, and hopefully, Sefi, are you going to be in Austin?
Maybe. We'll see.
Right. Oh, well, hit us up if you are.
you can come, just don't open your mouth.
See,
nobody will know who you are if you just never open your mouth.
See, yeah, exactly.
Just introduce yourself as someone else. That's right. Just say, hi, I'm Bill. You know,
the only reason,
Bill, I'll know who you are.
the reason I've stayed anonymous, by the way, is because if I happen to talk to protocols or anybody, I'd rather be just sort of like able to talk to anybody. And the problem is, if someone ends up doing some sort of rug pull and it's somehow tied to me, I don't want to be involved. You follow what I'm saying here? So by not having my actual name, I can talk to anybody, and just, like, you know, if someone does something they're not supposed to, I can just say kind of fuck off, basically, and not worry about it.
It wasn't me. Yeah,
it wasn't me.
Totally understood.
I have no
but
idea.
But if you do happen to be in Austin, introduce yourself as Bill, and we'll all know who you are.
Exactly. Yeah. Lucky's like, I'm going to wear a Darth Vader helmet with a voice changer. Yeah. But then they're like, wait a minute, like, you're going to be the only one with a Darth Vader helmet with a voice changer. This isn't Halloween. It's like middle of summer, right?
Right.
Send their projects to the NFT marketplace so they can't rug pull.
Yeah. Also, we're running a hackathon in Mexico, so we can follow us for more details and stuff, but running a hackathon in Mexico where you can come and party with us and also build. So yeah, be sick.
Yeah, we'll be peppering everyone with code and ideas.
Can I just come party?
So yeah,
awesome. Thank you so much, guys.
All right, guys.
Catch you all soon.
Thanks,
have a good one.
Hutch.
See you soon.
Cheers.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Mega Loop Finance Update, hosted by CFI, recorded on Thursday, May 5th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Sneaking through back alleys on a little cosplay. Broadway all day, looking like the wrong way. Resuscitating major players in the waiting room. Sifting through the paperwork while I be debating fools. Breaking rooms, breaking bad, like we always wait for doom. Slayed a few in my early years off beneath the shroom. Sitting in the dark, waiting for the daily news to let us know what we should believe as the latest truth. Stay aloof, writing rhymes in the studio. Trying to keep it well lit like filming a movie role. Sorting through support from your endorsements. Of course, we're tripping balls, handing reports it. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of pack of heads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Big thinking energy always gets the best of me. When I kick it in the lab, messing with new recipes. Gotta mix and match, flip the latch, letting rhythm scratch. Dope shit, spitting facts with my vision smash. Big trip aristocrat, dishing out a list of trash. Missing wisdom, this fish is too big to catch. Better let the missus know where you hit the stash. Watch your next step, bro, before you hit the traps. Walking on eggshells, tripping over landmines. And I'm about done dealing with these damn lies. Man, I'm looking at this planet like a franchise. Chastised into digging holes in the back nine. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of peckerheads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. We'll be right back.